certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his and there wasted his righteous living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he was come to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. The Lord again will bless the reading of his precious word. In this wonderful chapter, Luke 15, there are three things that are lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The lost sheep, he was lost to safety. The lost coin was lost to usefulness. And the lost son was lost to fellowship. Tragic condition indeed. And the scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We're on a broad road. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid upon him, and he has given us the ability to make that adjustment through the Lord Jesus. And so we find here the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all involved in seeking that which was lost. The Good Shepherd goes out to seek the sheep that was lost. Here is a picture of the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd. Happy are those who are found in the fold as a result of the seeking Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's a wonderful thing to be in the sheep of his pasture and to be linked with him who is the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd. Many years ago, the great Lord Radstock, one of the early brethren in the so-called Brethren Movement, loved to visit the hospitals. And one day, a little boy was brought in off the street, a waif off the street, sick with tuberculosis. And Lord Radstock sat down beside him. And he said to the little boy, Do you know anything about Jesus? Never heard of him. Never heard of him. So he took his little hand and he thought he would teach him the opening phrase of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And he pushed down the fourth finger. He returned the next day to see the little boy, and the nurse met him in the corridor. And she wept. He said, How is my little friend? She said, He passed away in his sleep last night. Anything extraordinary about his exit? No, but she said, When we removed the bedclothes, he was lying dead this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I told that to a lady in a hospital in Detroit, Michigan. The story of Lord Radstock and the little boy, raised in the Church of Rome. And we returned the next day, and as we came through the door, she goes this way. She says, last night I could not sleep, and I finally made the Lord Jesus my shepherd. He is the shepherd. And three times in this chapter we find that that which was lost, when it is found, there is great joy. When the shepherd finds that sheep and it returns to the fold, he carries it on his shoulder and he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And the moment a soul is saved down here, the joy bells ring in heaven. Who are his friends? Loved ones who have gone before in the glory. Rejoice with me. I have found the sheep that was lost. Thank God for the work of the Lord Jesus. And one great preacher says, any soul that is lost and goes down to hell, that is a tremendous loss to God. A tremendous loss to God. So sensitive is our great God, so loving, seeking the lost, that when a soul is lost, to him it is a great loss. The Lord Jesus goes out to seek the sheep that was lost. In the second scripture, in verse 8, there's a woman, and she lost one piece of silver, and she sought diligently till she finally found it. And when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that was lost. The coin could not find itself back into the pocketbook or into the pocket. Here is a picture of the sovereign spirit. The Lord Jesus, as the shepherd, seeks the sheep that is lost. The Holy Spirit works night and day, seeking sinners to come to the Savior. He strives, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but there he is, working night and day, seeking sinners to respond to the gospel and to be found in the Lord Jesus. So when the coin is found, there is rejoicing. Rejoicing when the sheep was found, rejoicing when the coin was found. Now, to look at the section primarily tonight from verse 11 down, here is a picture of a road to degradation. Here is a man, and he says to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Is this not characteristic of the human heart? Give me. Labor unions say, give us more money. Management says, give us more production. And the IRS says, give us more revenue. And it goes on and on and on. No satisfaction apart from being in the Lord Jesus. No none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. He wasn't content to wait till his father passed on. He wanted to get his portion of his father's hard-earned money. Very obvious he was a privileged young man. It was obvious his father was wealthy. He had servants, a lovely home, and food in abundance. But he wanted to get away from it all. Away from that godly influence. And to go down the road that led to degradation. My friend, it's a serious thing when you try to run away from that godly influence or to run away from God. Remember Jonah? He ran away into the ship, finally overboard, and into the belly of the fish. It's a tragic thing. It's a sad condition when you run away or try to run away from God. I was telling the friends the other night, my wife and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary in September the 6th this month. We got a lovely piece of china from our best man and his wife over in Stockport, England. His name, Neville Sampson. He was a petty officer in the Royal Navy. And we were in the island of Malta, and we gathered to preach the gospel any time we were in the port. Another petty officer, Stan Sharp, invited Neville to the gospel meetings. But what he heard, he didn't like. It became irksome. He heard that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. He didn't like what he heard. And so he was so glad, he said, when they got word for the ship to leave Malta and go across to the other end of the Mediterranean to the place called Alexandria. But meanwhile, the other petty officer was aboard HMS Phoebe, which was the fastest cruiser in the Royal Navy. And when the battleship got to Alexandria, when Neville Sampson, petty officer, came down the gangway, at the foot of the gangway was Stan Sharp. He thought he saw a ghost. He says, "I left you behind in Malta." "Well," says Stan, "we're having gospel meetings in Ibrahimia. George Knowles, a missionary from Israel, is having a meeting. I would like you to come." So Neville, "Okay, I'll come." The same thing happened. His ship got word to go back to Malta. Oh, he was so glad, he said, to get away from these gospel meetings, running, if you will, away from those gospel meetings. When he got to Malta, guess what happened? There was Petty Officer Stan Sharp at the foot of the gangway. "He says, not you again." "He says, I suppose there'll be gospel meetings again." "He says, how did you know?" But he saw his way out. It was the invasion of Sicily. And he volunteered to go in a landing craft, and by all the laws of nature, he should have been dead. He was struck and he dropped on his knees on that vessel and before all the men. And he cried to the Lord to save him. And he came to the Savior. 1 year later, it was the invasion of Greece. And Neville went ashore in the first assault party to commandeer the building and set up a navy house. And there he was. He saw the ship coming up the Suez Channel. "It was my ship." He said to the captain, he says, "Is that the Badapur, HMS Badapur?" He said, "I don't know. Could you check it out, sir?" So he checked it out. "Yes, it is." "Well," he says, "I've got a very special friend aboard that ship. Could I send him a message?" He says, "Man, there's a war on. He's a very special friend." "All right," says the captain. "What is the signal?" "To Dougal from Samson, 2 Timothy 4:9. The captain says, "What kind of a signal is that? 2 Timothy 4:9. Oh, he says, "Sir, he will know. He will know." I got the message, took out my New Testament, and there it was. "Do thy diligence to come unto me." And I've carried that for 53 years. A naval message. "Do thy diligence to come unto me." Went ashore, located Neville. Went down the streets of Salonika, the old Thessalonica. And God is always in control. And there was a gentleman standing there, Manilis Kitsakis. He said, "Good evening, gentlemen." "Good evening." "Christians?" "Yes, born again Christians." He says, "Welcome." So then we exchanged conversation. He says, "Can any of you boys preach?" Neville says, "Neil does some preaching, just come from Alexandria, preached at a conference. Would you preach tonight?" So he said, "You preach in English and I'll interpret." And the tears began to flow. Took up the Song of Solomon, the bridal portrait of the bridegroom. "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His hair is the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks as a bed of spices and sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands as gold ring set with the beryl. His inwards is bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His countenance or his bearing is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." And the tears began to flow. Could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that meeting. And at the end of the meeting, this brother said to me, he said, you know, yours is the first strange voice that we have heard in 4 years, 8 months of German occupation. Our God is always in control. So Peggy and I, about to be married, we wanted Neville to be our best man. But this time he was the chief inspector on the Manchester Canal, health inspector. So we boarded a train in Liverpool and headed for Edinburgh, Scotland. He's giving out his tracks. And he was in the first class section. Along came the conductor. He says, sir, you're not supposed to be here. You've only got a third class ticket. Well, he says, I got permission from the king. Well, he said, you'd better keep going. Right through the train, gave her his tracks. And coming back, he thought he would elucidate. He says, sir, it was not King George the VI, but His Majesty, the King of Kings in glory. And he said, you keep it up. That was Neville, who tried to run away from God. But God pursued him, and glory is the same, and he's one of the elders in the assembly in Stockport in England today. You cannot run away from God. If that continues, it's the road to degradation. So here he was. First of all, his departure. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, trying to get away as far as possible away from that lovely father and the home where he had been raised. The far country. Throwing aside all influence, godly influence. What a departure. The sad thing, when men continue to pursue that road of degradation, the broad road that leads to destruction. How did he fare? He spent his substance in righteous living, in lust, in debauchery, in wickedness. What a departure. But oh, what destitution. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. No food, no clothes, and finally, no friends. That's the outcome. That's what you can expect on the broad road. Nothing to sustain. Nothing but degradation. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and that is a sad condition. Like Adam, I was naked. And when he had joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine, and he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. What a departure. What destitution. What degradation. He would have filled his belly with the food that the very pigs were eating. But oh, thank God. There were two aspects to this situation. There was the outward journey, and then there was the homeward journey. He made that U-turn in the far-off country. And that's what God expects from us. That's what He desires. That which is lost, He wants us to make that U-turn. From the broad road to the narrow road. From the outward road to the homeward road. And notice His deliberations. I will arise and go to my Father. What a wonderful thing it is in the eyes of God when He sees this attitude in a sinner. And He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. There was the resolution, I will arise. We must be determined. The Lord says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Satan will call about and introduce all kinds of opposition, distraction. We must be determined. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. And if we are resolved, and the remorse, I have sinned against heaven. That's what the Lord loves to hear. He came not to call the righteous, we read, but sinners to repentance. Verse 2 of chapter 15, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Lord is not interested in religious, self-righteous people. He's only interested in sinners. And this man hit it right in the head. I have sinned against heaven. All sin is against the God of heaven. And notice the renunciation, the resolution, the remorse. He says, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. No more worthy. I have sinned. At meetings in Niagara Falls some years ago, and there was a gentleman there, came to every meeting, carried a big Bible, even sat back at the worship meeting. His life was absolutely blameless. And the dear man, his name was John Miller, he finally found himself a wife. And his wife came to the meetings. She says, John, do you mean to tell me that you've gone all those years to that meeting and not got saved? And she says, I'm not going back until I do get saved. And as the head of the house, you have to function in this direction first. But poor John put his head down on the sofa and he just couldn't get nowhere. So after 2 hours, she said, well, John, I can't wait any longer. And that dear lady put her trust in the Lord Jesus, and in her prayer she says, Lord, and please help John. I told him afterwards, you never heard a more eloquent sermon than that. Please help John. Went through 4 weeks of meetings, and the last night of the meetings I spoke on the verse, flee for thy life, and John went out the door. I says, John, are you going to let it go? Down with his head. Out he went. 20 below zero, the snow flying outside in Niagara Falls. Lady came back into the hall. She says, he's walking up and down outside in the snow. I went out. I says, John, do you want to talk to me? He said, yes. Came back in. Opened up the scriptures. I said, this is what the Bible says, John. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Only two kinds of people. Those that believe and those that believe not. Now, says John, in what class are you? Oh, he said, I'm in the class of believes. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe the Lord died upon the cross. I believe he's coming back. I believe. But this is John, somebody has made a mistake. Either you or God. Oh, he says, it couldn't be God. Because it says here, he that believes has everlasting life. And you don't have it. It finally dawned in dear John. And we're on our knees. And he's the only man that has ever used his name in the many I've dealt with in my lifetime. He says, I, John Miller, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and give me this everlasting life. And they have gone on well for the Lord in Niagara Falls, Ontario, in Canada. I have sinned. This man receiveth sinners. So it behoves us to get down to reality and to get to that point in our lives to realize that we are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. None righteous, no, not one. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. We are all as an unclean thing. The resolution, I will arise. The remorse, I have sinned. The renunciation, no more worthy to be called thy son. But oh, thank God for the return. The U-turn. And he arose and came to his father. It's a wonderful thing to be going home. You can feel the very atmosphere he was in, hungry, destitute, and heading for home. In the natural realm, there's no place like home. World War II, I was in the Mediterranean for 2.5 years, and the day came when I was discharged and going home. No telephones. I got on this old bus, and going downhill, it functioned well, but after 5 years of war, it was in bad shape, and going up the hill, it could hardly make it. But finally got to the centre of the little town outside Edinburgh, where I stay, where I live. I'm getting off the bus, and guess who was getting on the bus? My dad. Hadn't seen him in 2.5 years. I was choking with emotion. He could hardly speak, and then he broke forth. He said, "Son, no work today. Let's go home." That was a sweet word. Let's go home. Oh, the delight of this man when he decided to return to his father's house. This is only a foretaste of what it will be in the ultimate when we go home to be forever with the Lord. We're going home. Very soon, the Lord Jesus will say, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. In my Father's house are many mansions, but not so, I have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Every Christian, every believer in this chapel tonight is going home. Home, oh so soft and sweet. It thrills upon the heart. Home where the brethren meet, never more to part. Home where the bridegroom takes the purchase of his love. Home where the Father waits to welcome her above. We are going home to glory, maybe tonight. This man decided to go home in the physical realm. We've looked at the resolution, the remorse, the renunciation, the return. But oh, what can we say about the reception? And when he was a great way off, his father saw him. He was looking for his boy. Looking for his boy. Had compassion, and he ran. And fell on his neck and kissed him. He didn't say, "Well, you sure gave me a little heartache. You took my money. You squandered it in the far country in lust and in debauchery." No, when he came home, it was forgiveness all the way. And the moment we come to our Heavenly Father and confess, "I have sinned," then all our sins are not only forgiven, but they are forgotten. "Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more." Ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. No love like the love of a father for a son. And there's no love like the love of our great God for rebels such as you and me. We are the object of his love, eternal love. Having meetings in Victoria, British Columbia, and a gentleman there, a doctor, brilliant surgeon, had surgery, and something went wrong, and it wasn't a success. He hit the pain-killing pills, he hit the alcohol, and was going down, down, down. His scrub nurse heard about it in Vancouver. She sent him a card, saying that she was praying for him, and that God loved him. He says, "How could God ever love a man like me?" So he got on the phone. He said, "I'm coming into the city. I'd like to meet you and take you out for supper and explain to me how God could ever love a man like me." He says, "I'm sorry. I can't go out tonight to a restaurant. I'm going to a gospel tent. Would you like to come?"
Oh, yes.
He went with her to the tent. Guess what the preacher was preaching on? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Dr. McIntyre put his trust in the Lord Jesus. He tasted of the love of God. And God always does things well. He married his scrub nurse. They now live in Victoria, British Columbia. He spent 6 months in the year working voluntarily among the Eskimos. They adopted 2 children, one a deaf mute and another girl, and Brother Boyd Nicholson and I saw the 2 of them brought to the Savior. He realized that he was the object of the love of God. No love like the love of God. And the Son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. What a reception. The reconciliation. The father didn't answer the statement, but the father said to the servants, you see, he was completely forgiven. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Get rid of these rags from the far country, these smelly rags from the pig pen, and put on him the best robe. That's just like our loving God. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But he gives us the best robe, which is the robe of righteousness. The Lord Jesus, what the law could not do, now that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And he clothes us with a garment of salvation. The best robe, clothed in garments of salvation, at thy table is our place, we sometimes sing. What a blessed situation. And there he was, wearing the best robe that was available. And that's typical of our great God. Nothing but the best he has at his disposal for those who say, I have sinned. Righteousness, the best robe, and put a ring on his finger, on his hand. This is relationship. This my son was lost and is found, was dead and is now alive again. The ring speaks of relationship. Joseph was taken from the dungeon to the vice regal throne, and Pharaoh put on him a ring. Relationship. And oh, what wonderful relationship is ours as we come to the Father and confess our sins. Our fellowship is with the Father. Our fellowship is with the Son. And our fellowship is with God's beloved people. Relationship. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness, the robe. The relationship, the ring. Notice the rejoicing. And bring forth the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. There's a beginning to the joy, but there never will be an end to the joy that is ours in Christ Jesus. Happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Rejoicing, they began to be merry. So there was the outward journey, one of degradation. The homeward journey was one of delight. We will be in God's presence for all eternity, a happy, singing, rejoicing people. John said, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round the throne, and the living creatures, and the 24 elders, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne. And the living creature says, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. We will rejoice in God's presence for all eternity, because the man of sorrows made it possible for us to be a happy people in the Lord. So thank God for the return of the prodigal. And if perchance tonight you're here not saved, God knows your heart. God says you're on the wrong road, the road that leads to destruction, but like the prodigal, you can make that U-turn. I have sinned and come home to the Father, and he will abundantly pardon. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank thee again for a God of love. He saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us notwithstanding all. He can save us from a lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. Father, we thank thee again for thy great love. It is universal, and we thank thee it is also personal. And so we bless thee for everyone in our gathering tonight who can say he loved me and gave himself for me. Pray for that personal relationship to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd. And Father, again, we thank thee for the redemptive work of the Savior that made it possible to bring us into this happy relationship with thee, with thy Son, and with the Sovereign Spirit. We give thee our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Shall we close in singing? Again, if you've got a question or need any help, well, we can help you, I'm sure, from the Word of God. But whatever you do, if you're not saved, don't leave the building unless you're absolutely sure. Could we sing 1, 2, 3 in closing? 123, my soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. Experience of the prodigal. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice say, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea's noble. The tempest may sweep, or the wild storm may heave. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself their embrace and faith, taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea is no more. The tempest may sweep, or the wild storm may deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul since the Lord made me whole has been the old story so blessed of Jesus who saved whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the
the haven of I'll sail the wild sea is no more. The tempest may sweep, oh, the wild storm is deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. How precious the thought that we all may recline, like John the beloved and blessed, on Jesus' strong arm, where no tempest can harm, secure in the haven of rest. I banked my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea is no more. The tempest may sweep, oh, the wild storm may deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. I banker my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea is no more. The tempest may sweep, oh, the wild storm may deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Thank you.